This episode of Vegas Nation is brought to you by STN Sports from Station Casinos. STN Sports is the only sports betting app you need this season. Sign up today and get a new sign-up bonus for up to $50.
We are excited to know where we're going to be playing and excited to have a city that is excited about having us.
Once you're a Raider, you're always a Raider, no matter what city.
We are now the Las Vegas Raiders.
What's up, everybody? It's time for another edition of the Vegas Nation podcast brought to you by STN Sports Mobile, by Station Casinos, and also presented by Untuck It. This episode of Vegas Nation is the first of a daily series that we are going to start. We're going to grade every position the Raiders have, get you all ramped up for the NFL draft that is still happening April 23rd through 25th, though unfortunately not in Las Vegas. They announced that there will be no presence in Las Vegas for the NFL draft. We're going to get into everything happening with that this week as well. We're going to have special draft editions for you guys, so you're going to want to keep up with everything here. And to do that, start by hitting subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can also check us out on VegasNation.com. Download the Vegas Nation app and follow us on your favorite social media platforms at Vegas Nation. I'm Heidi Fang. I'm joined today with our Raiders beat writers, Vinny Bonsignor and Miles Simmons. Guys, first of all, I know it's been one of these weeks where we're all starting to get into binging things. I've been actually kind of doing my Raiders history, going back in time, looking at old footage as far back as I could find. I'm curious, though, what are you guys binging right now in this crazy time that we have going on? Vinny, what do you got? What do you got on your plate?
Well, I guess there was a reason why I didn't start watching Breaking Bad all those years. And in spite of hearing so many great things about it, I had put it off. I just never got around to it. And I have gotten around to it, and I am completely hooked. What a show. So, I guess we have to make the most of the situation when we aren't working. And that certainly occupied my attention for sure.
How about you, Miles? What do you got?
You know what? I've been watching a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm very into the
love Curb.
Yeah, it's great. It's hilarious. I just got through season 6 a couple days ago, and then I'm like still watching it yesterday, and I'm like, wow, this is already the season finale of season 7. So I guess that kind of tells you where I've been spending a lot of my time.
Awesome. Well, those are both great series, and I have to say at the top of my list for both of them, especially Breaking Bad might be my favorite series of all time. I just kind of want to keep everybody else out there involved in what we're doing, because we're people too, and we're all going through this together, and we're going to get through it together. And part of what we all need to get through together is how this draft is going to happen without any physical presence with all of these different prospects. And the plan was to bring them off the Bellagio fountains, and I walked out there this Saturday, and it was really just a sad scene. I've never seen the strip so empty. I was able to take selfies in front of several properties with like nobody in the background, and the only reason I did that was to kind of document it. I'm not a selfie person. I don't like getting my phone out. I don't like taking selfies, but it was something I felt that we needed to be able to see. And the Raiders right now are, I don't know how this is going to work out. We're going to talk all about this tomorrow as well. But just to briefly kind of go over it, Vinny, when we heard the announcement this weekend from Roger Goodell talking about, it was this past week, from Roger Goodell saying that Vegas will have nothing happening here. There's not going to be any kind of presence. What did you gather like that they may have planned to do besides like just the studio show? Is there any kind of plan that you've heard of that they have as far as how the broadcast is going to work?
Not really. And I think that, there was a memo that I got a copy of and took a look at, and basically for not just for the draft, but for other ways to be able to, engage with fans and, continue on what the NFL is trying to do this off season, just, providing content with fans, a connection with fans. They're urging employees of teams and across the league, maybe come up with ideas and you know, don't be afraid to offer him up. And so not entirely sure exactly how it's gonna happen, but you know, what we suspected from the very beginning was that you would have like a controlled atmosphere, a studio probably in the New York City area, maybe California, depending on, you know, where everything stands with coronavirus at that point. But something that's going to be safe for everybody involved, or as safe as possible for everybody involved. There has been some talk about, you know, maybe cutting into the homes of prospects as they get drafted, so you can capture those moments, maybe cutting into teams' facilities as they make the pick and they make the call. I'm sure there'll be something creative, but first and foremost, it's about safety. And you know, I feel like obviously the NFL made the right decision to practice caution in this regard. Las Vegas will always be here. The city is just now starting its official full-time relationship with the NFL. There'll be many events that come here, Super Bowls, likely the draft again. So no need to rush it. There was no point in doing that. It's best to play this safe.
And Miles, something else the NFL is doing that is going to likely affect the process of bringing in people, especially these free agents that the Raiders have signed, is they're postponing physicals with players. The players can go get their own physical from their own doctor. I believe Tom Brady has done that and he's turned it into the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But how much does this kind of slow down the process for bringing in and processing people that the Raiders have signed? I mean, over the weekend, they signed four guys. We're going to get into that as well, but what does this do for those people? How does it slow the process?
Well, I think it slows it down significantly, and I think, you know, one thing that we can say is that they haven't necessarily signed very many free agents. You know, in terms of physically signed, they haven't announced any free agents that they have signed technically. I mean, we know this because they've agreed to terms and that information can be reported, but for whatever reason, and different organizations have different approaches to this, the Raiders have not, you know, officially announced anything really when it comes to their free agents and the way that they're signing them. So, like I said, it's different approaches for different organizations, but I think not having NFL team facilities open right now, that really is affecting the way that business can get done, both from the standpoint of free agency, you know, how do you, I guess, you know, make sure that some guys feel comfortable with what you're doing and, you know, inside your building and all these different things. And there's another element to that, of course, with the Raiders, because they're not going to be in Alameda for very much longer. They're going to be down here in Henderson. So that's one element to it. But then when you talk about the draft, I mean, you're missing out on all these top 30 visits. You're missing out on, you know, guys being able to get more medical information. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that just really is not happening in terms of the normal business cycle of the NFL, even though we still know a lot of where these free agents are then going to go and play.
And I could add, I was talking to a couple of general managers about this and specifically as it relates to the draft. And, you know, the feedback that I'm getting is it really, really the current setup as a result of coronavirus really puts a premium on film work, guys that are apt at that, scouts, coaches, general managers that are strong in that area, but also relationships that you have throughout the sport of football. And I'm going all the way back to high school, college. You know, the information that you can gather, the data that you can gather, the work that you put in prior to any of these restrictions being put in place are going to be extremely valuable. And I think the teams that are on top of that and have been on top of that throughout this process, not just now, but, you know, going all the way back to last summer when teams started, you know, the real serious process of gathering information on players and going to visit with them and scouting them in person and visiting with practices and making relationships with coaches and people at colleges that these players went to. All of that becomes such a premium right now in this process because, as Miles mentioned, you can't just bring a guy in right now to visit. You don't have the 30 visits. You can't go to pro days. There are no pro days. You can't send, you know, your offensive line coach to personally work out, you know, an offensive lineman that you might be considering in the fifth or sixth round because that's not allowed anymore. So it really, really, really puts a premium on, you know, not in ingenuity, but just a master of relationships and film study.
Yeah, what they can do, though, is like I've seen Tua, for instance, he kind of did this whole video workout and turned it in. So that's something that I guess if you have the resources and the ability to put something like that together and the time or to hire somebody to do it, I don't know all the exact logistics that go behind it for a player. But, you know, these are things that I think people have to start thinking outside the box about and getting them into these teams or, you know, at least out there on the social platform so that teams can look at them. But you know, like we said, business is chugging along here for the Raiders. They've agreed to terms with wide receiver Nelson Aguilar. They also over the weekend re-signed running back Rod Smith and also have agreed to terms with Eric Kush and Nick O'Leary, another tight end. The whole tight end thing is kind of interesting to me, but if you could just run us through just what you think Nelson Aguilar brings to this depth at the wide receiver chart and is experience that he's had with the Eagles in the past five seasons, Vinny, what does he bring to the table here for the Raiders?
Well, certainly he brings a lot of starting experience. He also brings production. I don't think he's ever quite broken out the way some people thought. When he was drafted in, I think it was 2015, middle of the first round, he probably hasn't lived up to those expectations. He has had some problems with drops that are well chronicled. But at the very least, he brings starting experience and production to a wide receiver group that has hardly any of that. And when you think about, you know, what they have coming back, Terrell Williams, injury plagued season last year that really sabotaged his first year with the Raiders with the foot issues. Hunter Renfrow is a rookie, came on strong, was made a real immediate impact as a rookie. But aside from those two players, there's really nothing at the wide receiver position right now that can give you any kind of confidence about productivity and experience. And so Nelson certainly brings that. He can push for a starting job. I do think that the Raiders will address their main wide receiver need, wide receiver one in the draft. I don't think that Nelson necessarily comes in here as a starter, although he could push Williams. That's conceivable. But he's also, to me, a really ideal fourth wide receiver. And you need that. You need depth and you need somebody coming off the bench that you believe can produce and has produced. So I think that, that's exactly what he brings. And I think that's what the Raiders envision in agreeing to contract terms with him.
Yeah, and he's been another guy that has Super Bowl experience, another guy that Mayock, I believe, ranked as his number five top wide receivers of that year's draft. And he was picked at 20th overall by the Eagles. So, Miles, like Vinny was saying, a lot of people have always said about his career that he never really came to fruition with what the expectations were. Do you think that was just due in part to some of the other players that he was surrounded by or the scheme that he was put in, or that maybe he flourished more, like let's say in a slot position, than he did being put on as the number one guy? What do you think it was that didn't really come up for Nelson Aguilar in his career?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a lot of different factors, probably. You go back earlier in his career, there was probably a little bit of quarterback instability, and then Carson Wentz does come in and stabilizes that position. And I mean, look, when you look at the fact that, you know, his best years came when the Eagles were really doing stuff. I mean, you look at his best season was in 2017, when he caught 62 passes, 768 yards, had 8 touchdowns. You know, that's when Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate. That's when, obviously, the Eagles won the Super Bowl over the New England Patriots. So there were times when Aguilar, yes, was able to kind of put it together. But I think even when, as you were just alluding to, Heidi, even when those years were going on, he wasn't necessarily the best wide receiver on his own team. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey, obviously, one of those guys that was there. And then you look at the tight ends with Zach Ertz. He was somebody who was a huge target for them. So I think part of it is offense, part of it is execution. I mean, you know, you think about Aguilar and dropping passes sometimes. You got to think about that guy in Philadelphia who had that famous viral news clip, right, where he was saying that, you know, I caught the kids that were coming out of the window from this fire, unlike Nelson Aguilar. And then he, like, you know, turns his eyes to the camera. So, look, I think that this is a good opportunity for Aguilar with a fresh start. He gets to come in. He gets to maybe compete for a higher role than he might have on some other teams just because of the sort of instability that the Raiders do have at wide receiver. And I think we all still expect them to continue to add to that position. But this is a good opportunity for Aguilar to get a fresh start and see what he can do in somebody else's offense.
Yeah, I agree, Miles. I'm curious to see how he plays out with everything that he can bring to the Raiders, and especially being a little bit more experienced than some of the team there. I mean, the Raiders have a very young team coming in when you look at it overall. And just as we look back at, on this first week of them bringing in people signing, agreeing to terms, how would you grade, Miles, the Raiders, I'd say, offensive picks? When you look at who they brought in offensively, what do you think these people bring to the table, and what kind of grade do you give the Raiders on who they have brought in?
I'd say like B+. And I say this, it's hard, I think, to really see what free agency is going to look like, you know, in October, November, right now, obviously. I mean, and especially with everything that's going on, you know, and teams aren't really going to have an off-season program this year, probably, just based on the way the coronavirus has really brought most things in life to a halt. So I think when you look at it that way, it's going to be kind of hard to really figure out what these free agents are going to look like in this scheme. It's just hard. But at the same time, you know, I think that they've brought in quality depth, and I think that what they've done is make it so that they don't need to go after any particular position, maybe besides wide receiver. And I think, you know, based on their comments, everybody knows that they still are going to want to do that. But I think when you bring in somebody like Marcus Mariota, who can, you know, at least be a pretty good backup to, you know, what they've got going in Derek Carr, when you bring in somebody like an Eric Kush to be depth on the offensive line, and, you know, everybody always needs depth on the offensive line. He's somebody who has starting experience. I think when you bring in a couple of tight ends, that maybe raises an eyebrow a little bit, especially with Jason Witten and all the money that he is guaranteed. But at the same time, again, it's depth. And with Witten specifically, it's veteran leadership. So I like what they've done so far. I think that they've set themselves up well to have a really good foundation for what this roster needs to be in the 2020 season.
And Vinny, just to throw it over to you on the defensive side of the ball, pretty much the same assessment. What do you think as far as what the Raiders have done so far on defense, and how do you grade them overall right now with what they have done in free agency?
Well, I really like what they've done defensively. And one quick note on offense, one of the things where I agree with Miles on the overall grade. And one reason I say that is because they didn't panic and overpay a wide receiver. They could have easily, I'm sure, signed Robbie Anderson with a lucrative deal. But I think that sometimes you have to grade these off seasons on what teams resisted doing and were disciplined in not doing just as much as you do what they actually did. So I think that they didn't delve into the wide receiver world in a major way. And I think that it was a prudent thing to do, especially knowing how deep the wide receiver group is and where they draft and the access that they'll probably have to one, two, or maybe even three of the top wide receivers that are on the board. Defensively, it's hard not to give them an A. The only reason that I hesitate to do that is I think they really swung for some fences at cornerback, came up a little bit empty. They decided not to go and do what the Miami Dolphins did in Byron Jones, record-breaking contract for a cornerback. So they got out of that race. They couldn't, you know, swing a deal for Chris Harris. He opted to go to Los Angeles Chargers. So they kind of came up short, I think, on their first two targets at cornerback. So that gives me reason not to give them a straight A. But other than that, really love what they did with the linebackers. I think Corey Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski are quality additions and really changed their whole world at linebacker and turn it from a weakness to a strength. I like what they did with Malik Collins, an interior pass rusher that has experience with Rod Marinelli. I like what they did with Carl Nesib, who another quality pass rusher that they could probably you know, bring in on past situations where you can slide Cleveland Farrell inside. Now all of a sudden you have four guys along with Max Crosby and Collins who can get after the passer and dime nickel situations where known past situations. I think Jeff Heath gives them starting experience at safety. I think Eli Apple, there's still some promise there. There's still some upside there, but at the very least, he's a capable starting cornerback so that you don't have to necessarily, panic draft at cornerback. You can deal with it from a position of strength. So I think it's a straight B plus, close to an A. And after the draft, we'll see where that final grade is.
Okay. And on that note, we'll go ahead and take a quick break and we're going to grade some other current positions that the Raiders have and take a look at the depth. So stay tuned right here on the Vegas Nation podcast. This episode of Vegas Nation will be right back.
Ever wonder why traditional button-ups look so long and baggy? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untucked shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked, no matter your size or shape. Their shirts are the perfect untucked length. With more than 50 fit combinations, untucked shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. Don't just take my word for it. Try Untuckit for yourself. Visit Untuckit.com and use the code BLUEWIRE for 20% off your first order. They even offer free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. That's UNTUCKIT.com and promo code BLUEWIRE for 20% off your first order.
I watch every quarterback depend on, you know, whether I think they play like me or not. You know, you could take, just from watching a game of Brady, you could take plenty of things from Brady's game and try and establish it in my game. That's just what I try and look at. I mean, obviously, you know, just because a quarterback doesn't have the skills I feel like that I have, you know, still in the NFL and he's one of the best, you know, he's getting the job done at the highest level, and it's a lot I can learn from.
Welcome back to the Vegas Nation podcast. That voice that you just heard was quarterback Jordan Love from Utah State. He was at the combine and we were able to catch up with him. Somebody who may be or may not be a good fit for the Raiders. We're going to break all that down. But Miles, when you talk about a guy like Jordan Love and how he looks up to Tom Brady as his number one, I mean, I'm sure for a lot of quarterbacks right now that are coming out and going to participate in this NFL draft that he's somebody that they've all looked up to for years. But what do you make about Jordan Love, like his demeanor, the way he carries himself, his presence that you saw at the NFL combine?
Yeah, you know, I think he's a good young quarterback. I think that he's one of those guys that has probably improved his draft stock a little bit just based on the way his season went, where he was throwing so many interceptions, I think he had 17 picks. And then he goes to the Senior Bowl, performs well, does well apparently with the interviews at the combine. And, you know, I don't necessarily put as much stock into how they perform on the field. In terms of just throwing against air, that is what it is. And if you can't do that, then you really don't belong in the NFL in the first place. But I think, you know, just from the standpoint of going to the Senior Bowl and doing well in the practices there, I think that matters. When you go and you speak well and you can, not necessarily just speak well, that's overrated, but I mean, when you're able to process the information that teams are giving you, when you are in these interviews with teams, because they're quick and sometimes they get you at the board and you're doing this and you're doing that. I think that what might have helped Jordan Love, though, is these kind of top 30 visits where he would have been able to go to different teams and really make a case for himself and have teams get to know him a little bit better. That might have set him off a little bit more. But, at this point, I think the hay is kind of in the barn for a lot of these guys, and especially when it comes to the NFL draft. It's going to be kind of hard to be able to, I think, really improve your draft stock unless there's something that teams are seeing in the tape that would be something that they can really pick up on and say, all right, this is where your potential is and this is how you can improve. But I think overall, he's a good quarterback. And if he gets in the right situation with the right seasoning, you know, and he's allowed time to really adapt to the NFL game, then he has a good chance of being a good QB.
Yeah, Miles, I mean, he's somebody that I think he was a pretty poised speaker there. I like the presence and things I saw from him. You know, we've seen him here, you know, at these different media days in Las Vegas as well, being part of Utah State. Vinny, when you wrote about him, what did you take away from what you saw with Jordan Love here at the Combine and just generally what your thoughts have been on him as a player?
Well, and I go all the way back to the senior, all the way back to January at the Senior Bowl, and he, along with Justin Herbert from Oregon, were the top two quarterbacks that I, at least my assessment, you know, at the Senior Bowl, had a couple of really good practice days, and you know, there were some mistakes, and that happens in Senior Bowl situations, especially practicing with wide receivers that, you know, you're not necessarily accustomed to. But I thought that he flashed all the necessary skills, and you know, when you hear top people like Todd McShay, who I think has a pretty decent track record at what he does, comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, not saying that he is Patrick Mahomes, but you know, some similarities there. And Todd has him as the third best quarterback in this draft ahead of Justin Herbert. So there's a lot to like there. Yeah. You look at his last season at Utah State, it was a bit of a down years. His interceptions rose from 6 to 17 and his touchdowns went down, I think from 32 to 20, somewhere around there. But you do a little digging. I mean, on the surface, that looks like, oh, wow, what happened? Well, you do a little bit of digging and you realize he lost all four of his top wide receivers. Utah State had only one starter or player with any experience starting, returning on the offensive line. I think he lost a running back. He also, there was also a changeover at offensive coordinator. So it went from one coach to another. And, you know, in talking to Jordan, and I had talked to him about this at the Senior Bowl, you know, he takes shoulders all blame, doesn't make any excuses, and you know, vows to learn from those mistakes and is trying to. But also at the same time, you know, it's not an excuse, but an explanation where the guy was trying to do too much given all the losses of personnel and his team got down in a lot of those games, and he was trying to just force the issue. And I think that hurt him. But I think that you go back to the previous year where it was a spectacular season to put himself on the NFL radar. And then you look at the attributes, the arm that can make all the throws. He's an athlete. He's big and strong. Hasn't necessarily played under center. That will be an adjustment to the NFL. But I think if you're looking at a skill set, especially for today's NFL, he absolutely fits it. It might not happen overnight, but I think with good coaching and with a commitment from him, there's a chance for him to do something pretty special in the NFL. And the limit for the Raiders is to get him. You're probably going to have to use one of those first picks, probably the 12th, considering, you know, how rapidly he's ascending on draft boards and considering the position that he plays, the importance of it. You know, you could see a scenario where some team trades up into the top 10 just to get their guy. And so, you know, if the Raiders do want to go in that direction, they're probably going to have to be aggressive. I'm not sure they're going to do that, though. There are other holes on the team. There are some other areas that they want to address. So maybe they decide, hey, you know, let's sit back and try to get the quarterback later, a quarterback later in the draft. They do expect them to draft a quarterback. He fits. He's got a lot of promise, but I think that he's going to be somebody that come draft day is going to be a hot commodity, and the Raiders, if they want him, are going to have to be aggressive in doing so.
Yeah, and with 12 pick, we've surely discussed how much that they're likely to pursue a Jerry Jeudy or CeeDee Lamb there as opposed to going after a quarterback. But again, you never know what can happen in the NFL draft. Right, exactly. So you never know what can happen. So I've seen him assessed around in the teens when you look at it. So, you know, like you said, Vinny, they'd have to be aggressive for sure. But when we look at the Raiders' current quarterback depth and start thinking about who would make a good fit for there. Obviously, you just made a great case for Jordan Love to be one of those guys. What about some other quarterback prospects that you think may be a good fit for the Raiders, Miles?
Well, I think that there are a lot of guys that you could really talk about. Jalen Hurts comes up, I think, is one of them. And I think it was at his pro day at Oklahoma, there were some conversations between him and Raiders officials going on there. And, you know, he's one of those interesting coaching guys where he's a little bit of a turnover machine, because if you look at the way he was playing at Oklahoma, yes, he was running the ball extremely well. Yes, he obviously had targets, one of which we were just talking about in CD Lamb, that could go down the field and stretch the field and get the ball. But I think at the same time, turnovers don't just go away. And I remember people talking about this with Jameis Winston when he was coming out of FSU. You know, turnovers and interceptions, fumbles, those things don't necessarily just go away once you get into the NFL, and that's a concern. And so now, I think if you're going to talk about Jalen Hurts, look, there's a little bit of concern about, well, how tall he is, right? You have to have the right kind of offense in order for him to succeed. Now, at his peak, right, he might be somebody like Russell Wilson, you know, where he's able to get out of the pocket, make things happen. Kyler Murray is another one of those guys that's on the shorter side, and we know what he's able to do with Cliff Kingsbury becoming the AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, I think at the same time, you don't necessarily know where Jalen Hurts is going to fall in the draft. You know, I've seen everything from second round to fourth round, and some people even maybe say late first round. It's really interesting, and I think somebody is going to put their particular value on Jalen Hurts, and they're going to say, all right, we believe he can be our QB of the future, and then that team is going to take him wherever they particularly value him. But some teams are going to have him rated pretty high, and I think some teams are going to have him rated lower.
All right, at current quarterback position right now, that we're looking at Derek Carr, obviously leading everything for the Raiders under the helm. Marcus Mariota's contract is kind of, it looks pretty interesting from what I'm seeing reports of, because if he takes the field, he's getting more on the incentives if he's actually playing in the game. But $7.5 million is what I've heard is guaranteed. When you have that as the 1-2 punch, Vinny, how do you grade the current quarterback depth that the Raiders have?
You know, I like it, and I think they'll be good for each other. I think that it's a contract that's structured in a way that, you know, if it doesn't work out, the Raiders, there's, I think, guaranteed money just the first year, no guaranteed money that second year. They could get out of it if it doesn't work out. On the other hand, if it works out, you know, for Marcus, and he's going to be, there's a lot of incentives in there that can drive the contract value way up. I mean, it would be really hard for him to get all of that money, but, it definitely motivates him to want to be the starter, and he'll be rewarded if he's a starter and plays well. And the Raiders, you know, go to Super Bowls and the playoffs and all those type of things. He's going to get paid. And I'm sure the Raiders would be happy to pay every single cent of that if all of those incentives are met. So it's a good deal, I think, for the team to take a shot on a guy that needs to get back on his feet in his career, but also for a player that, you know, if he does the right thing and wins the starting job and plays a lot and does really well, he's gonna get paid. So, you know, a good deal. And I think for the Raiders, I can't remember a time, you know, when they had the quarterback position as far as starter and backup locked down the way they do right now. It's been a long time since they had quality at both starter and backup position, like proven quality. And I know Marcus has had his issues, but he's also had some moments of real, you know, NFL production. So, and it's been a while since the Raiders have been in that position.
Yeah, and Miles, for you, I mean, would you say that there's anything different than Vinny's analysis there on the quarterback depth and how you currently kind of look at what they do have and how do you grade it?
No, I think that right now, look, the Raiders want to get better at QB. And I think when you have somebody like Marcus Mariota, who has started in this league, that makes it a little bit better just inherently. You have an experienced backup. That is something that can, you know, be the difference between being a Super Bowl contender and, you know, being something that just doesn't really work out in the playoffs. I mean, look at what the Raiders did in 2016, right? I mean, when Derek Carr goes down with that fracture, that break in his leg, you know, they have Connor Cook and he has to start against Houston and they don't do anything very good. You look at what happens the next year with the Philadelphia Eagles. You have Carson Wentz go down against the Los Angeles Rams late in the season, and then Nick Foles takes over, and then they go on and they win the Super Bowl, right? That's what an experienced backup can do for you. So I think from that standpoint, and look, wait, I think we also expect that Marcus Mariota can challenge Derek Carr for that starting job if things don't go as well as the Raiders would like. So they have added to their QB room. They seem better than they were at the beginning of free agency. And I think from that standpoint, it's a pretty good thing that what the Raiders have been able to do so far.
I would have to agree as well. I like everything that I've seen so far out of what's happened here for them as they begin to build what they want out of their roster. And we're going to keep you updated with all of that as we go through these daily podcasts. Again, Vegas Nation coming at you daily starting now. So hit subscribe wherever you are listening and check out all things that we're doing on VegasNation.com. Download the Vegas Nation app. And we're going to get into some more at the NFL draft tomorrow and grade the wide receiver position that the Raiders have at their depth chart and how that going to look out for them as the season comes closer. Again, we are your source here for all things Raider. We got your fast takes. We got your smart coverage. Vegas Nation podcast is available anywhere out there that you can find your podcast on. So guys, make sure to follow us also on social media at Vegas Nation. This will be presented to you by STN Sports Mobile from Station Casinos and also presented by Untuck It. And guys, we will be back again tomorrow for Miles Simmons, for Vinny Bonsignor. I'm Heidi Fang. Thank you so much for listening.